What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, March 25th, 2024, and this week's episode, Boardwalk Beatdown Inbound. We'll talk about this past Saturday's UFC Vegas 89 main event, the fight between Amanda Ribas and Rose Namajunas. Well, let me just tell you something. The whole night, you know, that thing really bites. And we'll talk about the latest in MMA news. Bellator having their first event on Max in Belfast. Some stuff from some of the biggest superstars in mixed martial arts. And we'll cap it off by talking about this Saturday's UFC main event, the flyweights in action, Aaron Blanchfield against Manon Fior. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. I finally watched Roadhouse.
Did you like it?
You know what? Not really.
All right. You know.
Conor McGregor was fine. He was good.
I'll be honest. And with respect to Jake, Jake was a very much less is more kind of lead. I was fine with it. His character, his whole narrative in that movie was very straightforward enough. Yeah. I thought Conor stole the show.
For sure.
And I'm not just saying that, like, no, like...
No, literally, yeah.
Really maximized his screen time. I think that they figured out a perfect way to cater to his strengths as a performer. I thought the fight scenes, if you watch it, the way they are shot and cut, I thought it was fantastic. So that's good. I'll be honest, I did not see the original Roadhouse. And then as I was going through the movie, I kind of had that moment where I'm like, wait, who hired who to do what and why do they want it? You know?
Yeah.
So that is my only thing. I think that this particular iteration of Roadhouse lost it around that point. You know what? I've heard this and I've always now found it to be true. There's bad acting and then sometimes it's the script. I think the plot got lost in a bit of the script. I don't think anyone had a bad performance acting. I think everyone did great with what they had available. You know what I mean? And the sets look great. You know, I don't even drink. I'd love to go sit at the bar at the Roadhouse.
I want to go be in the band behind the cage. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I want to be. Yeah. So, yeah. The performances were solid. Just something was missing. Something was missing. But Conor McGregor really popped, man. And it, I know we'll get into it later, but, you know, he kept saying my role was small, and then they started adding to it and adding to it. And I can understand why, because he really just jumps out at you.
Oh, yeah. I thought he did great. And I heard he got to do a little, you know, quite a bit of stuff. You know, there was no backup McGregor. He, you know, he gave them the full Mac.
That's
almost
right.
Literally.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about some fights that were for real. Amanda Ribas taking on Rose Namajunas. They went 5 rounds this past Saturday in Vegas at the Apex. I mean, to me, the story of the fight, it was very competitive. And then, I hate to say it so bluntly, I felt like there were a few tactical errors made by Ribas that just gave away so much time in the rounds. In 1 and 2, she just goes for that judo throw, the head and arm. And Rose just reverses her both times and is able to maintain top position. I personally thought both of those rounds were very competitive. Even if you were scoring it for Rose, that was a very tight fight. I thought that a little bit more the physicality and impact was actually working for Amanda as opposed to Rose. I think we were seeing a few of the things we saw from Rose against Manon. She's good, she can move, but that physicality, that pop, just isn't there at 25 like it was at 115. And now, mind you, she's still getting fist-to-face plenty, but I just felt like Amanda, even though it may not have been as crisp and technical and clean, I thought it was still having just noticeably a little bit more effect. I felt like Rose was more afraid of the pocket than Amanda was. Didn't matter. The comprehensive game of Rose really just carried her through that. In the 5th round, I liked the urgency from Amanda, but just wasn't to be. I thought 4th round was, I believe it was the 4th, was Amanda's best.
It was.
But yeah, just Rose kept moving. And the ground game really is what bailed her out of it. The fact that she was able to reverse a lot of those positions carried her past Amanda Ribas. What about you?
Yeah, it was a good performance by Rose. You know, it's sort of interesting to see her having to, I say rebuild, but a little bit. You know, 10 pounds more makes a difference in a weight class with women that are already used to fighting heavier. And so Rose's body's still trying to get used to it. I mean, she said herself in the post-fight presser, like, you know, still trying to get used to throwing punches with the bigger arms. And you can see that, as you said, the power isn't there as much, but the speed is still there, and just the raw skill is there. I mean, she's still Rose Namajunas. She's still so good with her footwork, with her punches, with her movement. I mean, you're still seeing the same person. It's just she's got to like do a little more warming up in the body size.
It
So,
takes her more work to accomplish the same things at 25, I think.
yeah. And it'll come with time, and I think she's willing to put the time in. And you know, it's very interesting how this could, you know, the potential for what Rose Namajunas can do in this division is exciting. Because if one day we get to see her fight Valentina Shevchenko, Alexa Grasso, like that gets me very excited. You know, they used to be training partners for a time, you know, Namajunas and Shevchenko. So it could be interesting. Now, Hibas did great. She did win the fourth round, I agree. And those throws were, you know, detrimental to her success in the early rounds. So she's learned some lessons. Namajunas, though, looked good. I wouldn't say she looked great, but she looked good, and she admits as much.
Just make sure you were done with your point. No, I agree with you. I thought that definitely an improvement from the fight with Manon, and maybe that's partially credit to Manon Fiore, who's in a title eliminator this Saturday. What I appreciated is that going into this week, I think there was a lot of feeling like, well, could this be it? Last hurrah, I wasn't encouraged by some of the things I had heard from Rose, and she's telling Helwani like she thought about retiring, and she's fought all the strawweights, and it's like, well, almost it kind of felt like Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje sometimes when you hear them. It's like, hey, are you in it for another climb up the ladder at this stage of your career? And if you say no, that's fine. I can understand why some of these guys and girls who have done it and made money and been at the top and been a star, you're not exactly interested in building up the next person, just because you are trying to claw your way up that ladder. And going into Saturday, I mean, we have Valentina, we have Aaron, we have Manon, we have Macy. I could understand if Rose Namajunas is like, I'm not looking to have all those four fights before I fight for the title, you know what I mean? At this stage, it's kind of like, hey, let me get one or two, and if I'm not at the belt, what are we in it for, right? So I appreciated the fact that Rose didn't have that mentality, and she instead was like, and I still believe I could even get the flyweight title this year. And I'm like, whoa, you are talking a different way than I expected, to be quite honest. And I was encouraged by it. I think that's exactly what you want to hear from a talent like Rose Namajunas. Which brings us to what's next. She lost to Manon Fiore. If Manon wins on Saturday, Manon isn't taking the rematch with Rose. Nor should she. I wouldn't if I were her. I think every other fighter wouldn't. So I'm going to move on from that. Erin Blanchfield, my only thing about this, just kind of same for Manon, you win that fight, you're next up. And I think the one thing about this is that the timetable for Valentina and Alexa, honestly, I'm gonna just say it, Natalie, I hate it. I get it. They're kind of in a no-win situation on the calendar. They have gotten so married to the celebration of Mexican combat sport in September at the Sphere that you've literally made it where there's no other option to headline besides Alexa in September. Now, she fought in September last year, and I know there's been some injuries, but you're telling me, okay, I mean, it's March, that's April, May, June, July, August, September, 6 months from now, before we get a flyweight title fight. And then how many more months could we potentially have to wait for Aaron or Manon to get their shot? I mean, and that's not to speak to Macy Barber, now Rose. I don't like it. I really don't. I would almost argue respectfully, if Aaron gets out of this clean, you could almost make an argument for an interim flyweight title. That is just how bottlenecked this whole thing is with Rose, Aaron, Manon, Macy. You know what I mean? What I mean, and we'll talk about this more Monday, I don't like it for Aaron and Manon. Obviously, people could get hurt and then you sneak into a title fight in September, but that's... I mean, if I were a fighter, I wouldn't be putting my eggs in that basket, to say it simply. So, if Aaron or Manon are waiting, that leaves only Macy Barber for Rose Namajunas. What are your thoughts?
I'm excited. Macy Barber, that's a great fight, you know, and Namajunas mentioned that in the post-fight presser. Macy's all engines go, right? She's just like pedal to the metal. So Rose is up for it. It makes sense. I think that would be the best fight to make. And, you know, Rose admits she's not ranked. Now, of course, rankings are for the regular fighters. When you're someone like Rose Namajunas, you get to jump the line. If there's room and if you've done enough to show that, you know, you're worthy of making the jump. As good as her performance was against Hibas, I don't think it was, you know, blockbuster enough to you know, slingshot her to the front of the line. So Macy Barber for me is the right matchup.
All right. I agree. At flyweight, I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
And for, you know, the sake of discussion. The Bantamweight title with Raquel Pennington. Holly is up 2-0 against Raquel. That being said, I don't know that Holly Holm is in the conversation right now for a title. Even with a victory over, potentially, Kayla Harrison. If Kayla wins, I could see that kind of becoming a thing. You know, get your money's worth out of Kayla Harrison kind of deal, you know. But the way I see it, I don't think there's that much enthusiasm to see Juliana Pena in a title fight. Kayla and Holly are its own thing. Wait and see. I would argue if Macy Barber went up to 35, I could see UFC saying, you know what, you're on a roll, you've been with us a long time, contender series ambassador, Macy Barber getting an immediate title shot at Bantamweight. What do you think about that?
Whoa, is that something she's talking about?
Like, oh, she's been talking about it. Every time they talk about it, it's like, you know, fight Juliana Pena, waiting for a title. I think the issue is that there's, I mean, there's just not fights that make sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even like with the Rose fight, it's like you're burning someone that you would want as a flyweight title contender, you know? And even with Aaron and Manon, I really felt like this fight shouldn't have happened. Honestly, I felt like Aaron had the more impressive win. She should have fought Alexa. Manon gets Valentina. And then all the pieces make sense. You know, rematches or new fights, everyone's hyped up. Instead, we're getting, you're burning one contender. You're doing a trilogy that I feel like we have enough resolution on, respectfully. So I can understand why Macy, you know, let me just get out of this whole muddled situation. I have more heat than anyone else at 35 right now. That could change in a few weeks at 300.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, she's building heat with Juliana Pena.
And that works, right? We've seen that be successful so many times. If you talk your way, if you talk enough and you talk in a good enough way, you can. I mean, Juliana Pena talked herself into a title shot. So it's doable. And Macy Barber's probably looking at Pena and thinking, like, you're big, but you're not that well-rounded, you know, and maybe she sees a golden opportunity there, and she's right. You know, look, I still like the Namajunas matchup for Namajunas, but yeah, if you're Macy Barber, you're like, okay, Rose is a huge name, future Hall of Famer, but she's not even ranked in my division, so what does a win get me? Yeah, not a whole lot, right? It gets you to just, it sort of still keeps you in purgatory. Like, your position won't move that much if you beat her. unless you know, head kick knockout, you know, first 30 seconds. So yeah, I guess I see your point, and apparently she's making the same point. But if we're just looking at it from Nama Yunus's perspective, Macy Barber is a good fight for her.
No, I completely agree with you. And also, I'm gonna just throw this out there. Imagine if Val and Alexa get into another five round, they just have a straight up banger, and they're like, yeah, we broke everything, we're not gonna be ready for like 9 months.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Aaron and Macy, or Manon and Macy, freaking interim title. Forget about it.
I think you're right. It sucks that we have to wait so long for...
I don't like it. I just straight up... I know Dana White is married to this idea at the Sphere. I just personally... I would have rather just make the best card you can at the Sphere, just the same way you do it in September's at the T-Mobile. It doesn't have to be this big Mexican Independence Day thing. You could have a Mexican undercard, but just give the fans a great fight and don't worry about it. Instead, we've gotten so married to the Mexican Independence Day card that it's like now the entire flyweight division is thrown off because you have to lock in Valentina and Alexa for the next 7 months. I just don't like it. And I see the shots. They're clearly amped up at Ultimate Fighter shooting it right now. But y'all, look, this is just how I feel, you know?
When does that finish shooting?
I mean, it should be done by like early May.
And then they just have to wait. Yeah. Presumably, I mean, Valentina looks
pretty
healed up.
It probably airs in like late July and all this and all that.
Yeah, that's a long time to wait, man.
Yeah.
If I'm Grasso, I'd be like, no, let's go.
Well, there's been so much talk about the broken hands and all that. And I'm, you know, I get it. It's almost like they're saying, well, they have broken hands. And I'm like, for fighters, how long does that really take to heal from? Sorry, not sorry. I feel like half of these guys always have broken something in their hands. And I get it, the you know, smaller, you know, they're women. The hands aren't exactly as resilient as a guy's hands, just like a lot of the bones. I get it, but I don't like that. When you got done with Valentina and Alexa, did that look like they both needed a whole year to recover? No.
No, sir.
Sorry.
Not at all.
They didn't. Anyway.
Coming with the fire, Double G.
I'm sorry. I'm very passionate. You know what, this situation? It really bites.
Hello.
You know. What a beautiful segue. Igor Severino takes a chunk out of Andre Lima. What did you think about that? Everyone's seen the clip by now. Everyone's seen the photos by now.
It's freaking ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Let me say this. I didn't know you could like legit bite someone through that severely with a mouth guard on.
Yep.
Okay, Mike Tyson, of course. That was.
But the ear is different than the arm.
The ear is different. So, but I remember Mickey Gall bit Diego Sanchez. I don't know if you remember this, like on the chest or something. Diego Sanchez didn't say anything, but he showed it after the fact. And I was like, damn, you gotta bite really hard to just dig in like that. I mean, this guy was chewing on a rib. Like, you know, like he was at freaking Lucille's barbecue. It's outrageous, dude. What possesses you to do that in a fight where you're... Some people say he was winning. I feel like it was going back and forth. They were giving a good... They were having a great scrap. Like, are you serious? It's unacceptable. It definitely put me in mom mode. I'm just like, no, you cannot do that. Get out of here, bro. So I respect the UFC's decision. You got to bounce. There's no room for that. It's just lunacy. You know, you're not going to win. Even if you... Let's say you were losing. You're not going to win the fight with that. And you weren't losing. You were right there.
I mean,
it just a complete lapse of, like, just a brain fart? Like, what makes me think he's a dirty fighter? And so maybe, whether he is or isn't, you can't shake that from your... From your reputation, like you're gonna be that dude that bites.
The whole thing was ugly. Also, the positioning, he's like kind of got him against the fence and he just kind of gnaws. He's like, it's like, it's not even, you have to almost actively be looking for that to attack a guy that way.
You can see him if you watch it. He like moves his head to open his mouth. Like, that was not an accident. The man's bicep didn't get shoved into his mouth.
It's just an awkward thing. They talk about it. Ronda Rousey accidentally did this to Liz Carmouche when she was getting rear naked choked famously for women's fight ever.
Yeah.
And it's like she was breathing and then the mouth, and she's like, well, I'm not trying to bite, but like I'm trying to get out of it. And she kind of caught me as I'm trying to breathe and my mouth is open. And, you know, Liz's forearm is in Rousey's mouth. It's a thing that happens. This is a different position entirely. I appreciate the ref. He clearly was like, you could even tell he's got to talk to his team. And it's like, we have this situation. It's literally happening. And by the way, the broadcast reaction, kind of the icing on the cake. They're like, did it need to be stopped? Take a point. And then they see,
give him a warning.
Then they see the bite mark and everybody's like, oh my God. Paul Felder, all this other stuff.
Paul Felder's like, oh, you know, you should have given him a strong, whoa, okay, that should have been stopped.
Oh, my gosh. Immediate dismissal, don't want to hear it. No thanks for playing, say it like that.
Thank you,
but
Nick,
then everybody just, the reaction made me almost feel like, was this scripted almost? I'm sorry. Igor's in he's after the fight. Andre, he's getting it tattooed.
Dude, that's so gross.
How does that not get infected?
I don't know. I mean,
regular tattoos can have that happen, but this is literally on a bite that left. Go ahead, sorry.
I agree. No, I agree with you. It's disgusting. I mean, I wanted to mom shame both of these guys. I'm like, you bit this guy, get out of here. And now you're going to put a tattoo on it? That's gross, first of all. Let it heal up, and now you're going to memorialize it on your darn arm. It's not even funny. It's stupid. He got the money, right? Okay, bye to the
night. Then Dana White, 25K. Yeah. I guess now I'm giving him 50. I'm sorry, but that kind of commitment, you should have given him the whole 100. Sorry, not sorry. By the way, and then the UFC, oh, this is so atrocious. How dare they? This is not what we do around here. And the takeaway graphic from the evening, bite of the night. What the?
Oh, man.
Is it funny or is it horrendous? I'm not sure. I'm getting mixed messages.
It's funny. It's freaking funny. It's cheesy, but it's funny. For as horrified as I was for all of it, that was freaking funny.
The bite of the night. What the heck?
Bite of the night.
I mean, look, good stuff. Peyton Talbot, Cameron Simon, that was a good one. Just a lot of contenders moving up in position. It was my takeaway, so... Decent night of fights at the Apex. And then, you know, preceding it, we had a Friday with the newly imagined Bellator presented by PFL. Corey Anderson defeating Carl Moore by unanimous decision. The moments of the fight went to Carl, if you saw it. I mean, he had some great submission attempts. He had some moments out there representing for himself, but... The wrestling, just the complete game once again, just kind of carried Corey Anderson past this one. The takedowns bailed him out, top control. I appreciated the resiliency of Carl, but that was just one where the decision wasn't in doubt. What about you?
Yeah, Corey Anderson just gets it done, right? Is it always the most exciting performance? No, but it's just put your head down. Do what you can do, do what you know to do that you're better than everyone else at, and just get it done. So, you know, that's Corey Anderson, man. Like, he's reliable, reliably, you know, successful, and reliably not the most exciting, but, you know, whose life, whose career is it? The W's count for him, not for us, so he's got to do what he's got to do.
Exactly right. I mean, the one thing I would say is that now it becomes kind of interesting. I mean, you have guys like Carl Albrechtsen and others. The rankings are different, though. One, they're kind of not tracking them anymore like they did under the previous regime. And then two, Vadim is gone. Ryan's gone from the division. I asked Corey, he said, I don't know about Johnny Eblen at 205, but I wouldn't mind it. There'd been some talks about it. I'm not sure where you go next for Corey. I'm sure he will decide, does he want to chase Vadim or does he want to just do his own thing at 205? I think we're going to wait and see and we'll get an answer. But look, I mean, this is why he left UFC. He knew there were more opportunities out there, more immediate. He's gotten them. Good for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, where we go next, I'm a little unclear. So wait and see. Co-main event, Patricio Pitbull, Jeremy Kennedy. I really thought Jeremy was going to get this one done. He looked, you know, strong, tall, fast, bigger. It felt like, hey, is Patricio Pitbull missing a step? Is it, you know, it felt like you feel like you're watching everything. Time catching up to him. You're just against a younger guy who's hungry for his first shot at gold. And he's kind of getting pieced up on the outside. He's struggling with the speed and the just the accuracy of Jeremy Kennedy. They're going at it for two rounds, and I believe it goes into the third. And Patricio just lands this perfect right hand on the chin that Jeremy eats well. It looks like in the moment he kind of like stumbles, but it's like, all right, he kind of plants his feet. But then Pitbull, this is why you only know when you're in the cage, just looks like he smells blood and just goes after Kennedy and just relentless. It felt like the freaking barrage lasted for like 60 seconds, which in the moment is a lot of shots, but he just kind of kept cracking elbows, knees, punches until Jeremy Kennedy just finally collapsed. And, you know, just beautiful rally. You and I talk about this every time a vet gets a win. I'm done when I say I'm done.
Yeah.
That was Pitbull's I'm done when I say I'm done. Defends the featherweight title. Beats easily the number one contender coming out of the Bellator regime into the next chapter. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, man. It's a great moment to see. And, like, you know, Pitbull's been one of the mainstays at Bellator. Like, that's the guy that's always on the big cards. You know, his brother as well. But it's Patricio's been the one leading the show, leading the charge. And so when all this, you know, merger acquisition stuff happened, it's kind of like, well, what's going to happen to Pitbull? And so it's nice to see him planting his flag and saying, like, guess what, PFL, Bellator, whatever you want to call, say I'm a part of, like, I'm the king here too. So it's a great statement for him to make, especially under the pressure that he was under, you know, on the losing end of those exchanges, and then having that moment where, you know, old man's strength is real, you know, and so he still got it.
No, I completely agree with you. Just look, it's always great when you see them, because you don't know how many more nights like that they're gonna have. He's had a long career, he's been at the top a long time, won a lot, lost a few. So the fact that he's still at it at this level, it's like, enjoy it while you can. What I like about this one, and Pitbull kind of addressed it, he called out Jesus Pinedo, who can't make the regular season now after his injury. So depending on when that fight happens, you could do, you know, 2023 PFL season champion winner, you know, tournament winner, Pinedo against Pitbull. Aaron Pico is right there. I think that under the circumstances, this is the moment for Pico. Adam Borich has been vanquished. Jeremy Kennedy's been vanquished by process of elimination. And after so much time, it feels like Pico's turn to take a shot at Bellator gold. And you know what I even appreciated? It's not going to happen, but he shot his shot. He's out here saying, I would also love to fight Ilya before I'm done with my career. And I'm like, well, of course you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
But just shoot your shot. You never know what could happen. So,
No, we've expected things to go one way in MMA, and they inevitably go the complete opposite way. Never thought I'd see Kayla Harrison in the UFC, so you never know, man.
Yeah, for my money, let's see on timing. I'm sure they would favor Pico, but if Pinedo, depending on the extent of Pinedo's injury, he could get in there for a fight. And you figure something out with him and the 2024 PFL guy, whoever wins this year, next year, or late this year, you know what I mean? And we go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the broadcast itself, okay, first off, on Max. I went to Max. There was some, like, basketball or another sport, but right at the top of the app, you know how it kind of does that,
That banner,
like top. A screensaver also too, like it'll go to the next one after a few seconds.
Yes.
Bellator was the second one.
Okay.
Nice and bold, but it wasn't immediate. Like I had to like, wait, how do I find Bellator right now? But it wasn't hard. It wasn't immediate, but it wasn't hard. Okay. So point number one there. I like the colors. Bellator's colors and on their TV broadcasters have always been different. This felt a little more closer to what we expect in PFL, etc., etc. I kind of liked it. So, okay, presentation-wise, looks good. Graphics and all that look fine. You have Sean O'Connell and Dan Hardy doing Bellator broadcast. Different. I'm a little used to Big John and Josh Thompson and the guys and Chael. It wasn't bad, though. So presentation, I haven't had issues yet. Pacing, there were no commercial breaks. Instead, they just kind of say live, and there's like a lot of talking. There's like a lot of setup between fights, but they don't go to a long commercial. They're not running all these long video packages and promo stuff and commercials. They didn't. So an improvement, but I still realize, like, you know, it just still felt like it was taking them a while to actually get each fight rolling, but it was better than what we've often lamented about the PFL broadcast over the years.
Okay.
So that's this good. Is about 3 or 4 points I'm going to give.
All right.
About the biggest one I found, and I know you can speak to this right now. All right. So I had to depart the broadcast, you know, other obligations about midway through. I did go back to watch it. It isn't broken into separate fights, and maybe just not yet, compared to, let's say, ESPN Plus or UFC. So when I did go for it, I had to type in Bellator. It was right there, and it's like Bellator Belfast, blah, blah, blah. I put it on, and I did have to fast forward through the four-hour thing to get back to the fights I was at. So that was a little okay. And also, for being a new thing, and the launch, I really wish there would have been some kind of widget to find it a little more immediate. I had to do a manual search for it. This is on Friday, so that was my experience. What about you?
Yeah, that makes sense that, you know, Friday's probably the priorities for them are not that. You know, whatever their movies are, TV shows, and March Madness seems to be taking up a lot of space on the app there. Basketball in general takes up a lot of space on their sports section.
Yeah.
So for me, it's actually less lucky. I didn't try to find it until later in the weekend. And by then it was near impossible, I guess. Like, I basically found nothing. I typed in Bellator in the search field. So nothing on the front, no hero banner, no, you know, front of page, thumbnails, none of that stuff. The only thing being advertised sports-wise is just live and upcoming content, so wouldn't be anything in the past. Their sports tab is listed as Bleacher Report Sports, so I don't know where exactly the MMA content would live under that section or not.
Well, I think that the parent company owns Bleacher, which I know has a long-standing deal. Like, Bleacher has a big deal with, like, TNT.
Right,
so, like,
right.
A lot of the highlights from, like, NBA on TNT, like, not just the sports stuff, but the actual, like, post-show, they have a whole thing set up that's clearly been great because people love those clips online.
Right, of course.
So I think that's why it's listed that way and not separated, maybe as of yet.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I had to go the old-fashioned way, like you said, through the search field, and I don't think I can do anything wrong in this regard. Like, I'm literally just typing Bellator, MMA, mixed martial arts, and all the only content that pops up is the pre-fight content, you know, behind the scenes, weigh-ins, all that shoulder programming. So I could still be missing something. It might just be there and I haven't found it. But as of today, cannot locate the full fight.
Let me get back to you. I'm a little a ways away. I can't turn on the whole thing to
it doesn't seem
test
right.
It.
Like, I feel like I must be doing something wrong because that doesn't seem possible, right? You know what I mean?
We'll update this segment next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. We'll look for it, and we'll check in, see if it changes throughout the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Fair enough. No, like not everyone. Look, this happened at like around lunchtime on, well, I guess midday, not noon, but, you know, late afternoon on a Friday. People, a lot of people still at work. You kind of need to be able to access it after the fact. So
I would
that's
think
very
so.
fair. Yeah,
Yeah.
very fair. Okay. You know, and mind you, this is still event one. Maybe some kinks to be worked out.
Yep.
Anyway, so we'll go from there. They had an announcement, obviously. The Dublin card on June 22nd going to feature the return of the butt-kicking machine, because I can't use the official one. Jason Jackson taking on Ramazan Kurammagomedov. Man, that's a lot of vowels, but I bet he whoops butt. There will be another title on the line, like I said, in Dublin, Three Arena, where they've gone a lot. You know what? Jason Jackson, love seeing him. I'm glad he's gotten his moment, and he's really shown how great of a talent he is worldwide. So, any chance to see him fight, I'm down for it. The calendar's shaping up nicely. Don Davis committed to every Bellator event will have two title fights. I'm good with it.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And they're coming to San Diego in September,
Yep.
if the schedule holds. That could be fun.
I think my thing about it is, can you actually? That's a lot of events for nobody to get injured. Also, respectfully, like, okay, no. So here, look, I'll give you a good one. Ryan Bader's the heavyweight champion, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've caught on or a lot of fans. Both Linton Vassell and Valentin Moldavsky are in the PFL tournament. They're unavailable for Bellator. So who's fighting Ryan? Vassell was up next before this whole PFL versus Bellator thing happened. So what are we, who are we gonna go with? Or Liz Carmouche, one of the champions, unavailable. If you have a pay-per-view late in the year, is Patchy Mix available for a second Bellator fight before the PFL pay-per-view? Probably not. You don't want him hurt if he's gonna be part of you selling another $50 card. A lot of things to be figured out is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they
So
have a lot of things to figure out.
I don't know that we have enough champions. Liz Carmouche, well, I already said it, not available. Kyoji Horiguchi, we have heard nothing from him, but I believe he was the inaugural flyweight champion. I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of cards to fill, right? And they're not doing like they're putting a regular amount of fights on these cards, right? Like,
Yeah.
prelims, main card with an undercard.
I mean, not excessively deep, but
Yeah.
enough.
They're almost like, by being acquired by PFL, it's made them like Bellator. It's made Bellator thinner and less. Yeah, it's got less. And they're
I just think they don't have the infrastructure to completely make put it this way. They probably felt like they would have to approach UFC level of events when they absorb Bellator. I don't think they have the infrastructure to do that immediately with a tournament and this and that. So they felt like, well, I just feel like there are too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You got all this talent and everybody's just cross-pollinating. I mean, you have Cedric Doumbé in PFL Europe. And then you're gonna put them on pay-per-view, and then you got a regular season, and then you have Champion Series. It's like between Europe regular season, Champion Series, and pay-per-views, it just feels like everybody, it just doesn't make sense because it's almost unclear who should hold for what or who should do what, you know? And once again, some people it works, some people it doesn't, you know? Leah McCourt, like seeing her on the broadcast. Kind of made it awkward though, because it's like, well, can we have that cyborg conversation? Because cyborg, once again, on social media, took to it to talk about why Dawn Davis' plan is not her plan, and I'm just like, I don't, you know. You know what I need? You know how they do the face-off with like the two fighters on a lot of these boxing things?
Yeah.
I need the sit-down televised Dawn Davis and Chris Cyborg. This thing has just been going on too much.
Yeah, you know what? That's the
I'm
only way to get to it, right? You just got to force them to come together and put it on the internet.
camera, yeah.
Yeah, so they can't freaking hide. And then we'll see who's got the truth behind them. They
Like
gotta come with receipts, though.
yes, but then you Photoshop is the thing. I don't
Oh,
know.
jeez, you're
You
right.
get it, you get it. But yeah, I think that that's something they got to address. But as for right now, it wasn't bad. I'll go with that. Once again, I mean, it was in Europe. It was at an awkward time, I think, for a lot of fans. I think it may just need a little bit more of a push to catch on. And once again, it's on a great app, so we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Some MMA news. This one, I know you're a big fan, I am too, so it's quite interesting to hear. Ronda Rousey, promoting her new book, did an Instagram live and was asked about why she retired from MMA, and very poignantly dropped this news that she had been suffering and had a history of concussions going back to her judo days, and said that that was a big part of why, one, she retired, but two, why she didn't talk about it, because she's like, how do you, this is more than just, oh, let me talk about it in a couple interviews with ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said she also didn't, one, she didn't want it out there so she would be targeted. Two, she didn't want it to affect her WWE career, which is fair. I've heard wrestlers say it, just because you know when the punch is going to happen doesn't mean the hits aren't real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very fair. What was your reaction to hearing this? Because this was certainly like, oh, like, would that have changed how we viewed everything? Probably. What did you think?
Yeah, it was very surprising to hear that because, the concussions, especially now with football and everything, everyone takes them very seriously. And if you get knocked out, you gotta, you're forced to stay off the canvas, out of the cage for, whatever amount of time the commission decides. But, we don't think of Ronda Rousey's MMA career, apart from the Holly Holm head kick, as being one that would have, resulted in a bunch of concussions. So to hear her say that they mostly came from the judo days kind of makes sense if you go and watch judo. Like, just think about if you fall on the floor, you hit your head, or even if you don't hit your head, keep your head up, but your brain kind of sloshes around in there. Imagine if you're doing that just like day after day after day. And there's lots of sports where you are throwing your body around. It has to take a toll, and nobody thinks about it because we always focus on the sports where your head is getting directly hit by something, football, boxing, MMA. So, this is surprising, but not surprising when you, like I said, when you go back and look at the nature of judo. Even the other day, man, I was at the park and there was these kids, teenagers, practicing goalie work for soccer. And literally for 30 minutes, balls were being kicked at them. They would jump in the air and catch them and land on their side, just nonstop for 30 minutes. And I was like, damn, their heads must hurt so much
That's a
after
lot
this.
of bouncing and
That's a
shaking.
lot of bouncing, man. So, okay. And I think about this too when I watch wrestling, as you say, they say, okay, just because the punch is coming. You see wrestlers throwing themselves all over, jumping off the high rope, off the steel cage, getting thrown around. Nobody really talks about it, but there's no doubt your brain is getting jacked up in there. So I appreciate that she's, putting it out there. It's important to talk about. It's not going to change anything, but, awareness. The WWE stuff, though, like a little bit going a little deeper on what she was saying. What did you think of her comments about her experience with the WWE?
Like with McMahon and all that.
With McMahon, yeah, how she
I
felt the
mean,
organization was run and all that.
she definitely sidestepped whether or not anything happened to her, which I respect completely. I didn't expect her to reveal that just on Instagram. I heard Matt Riddle talking to Ariel Helwani about this, and he said, anytime you're in some kind of business, entertainment or sports entertainment, where there are a lot of, fit, young, good-looking people. And yeah, people in power, there's always potential for anything. Mind you, that happens so many places. I mean, you're telling me they're not random restaurants out there where a boss is given potential privileges to a more, whatever, a waitress they find more attractive? These things happen in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's not just TV talent that, you know, let's be real. There's a lot of gorgeous people on television.
Double G.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I try. But, you know, but yeah, so it's like, it's always ugly because, you know, now, look, we go to these things for an escape and for fun. Hearing these things isn't fun. And it makes you feel gross. And I definitely do. I know a lot of people did hearing that about Vince and all this. And, you know, I'm going to give the right to due process. But I've read it. You've read it. It doesn't sound good. So what I would say about that is that it's unfortunate. And I don't know that that's necessarily for, you know, a thing that was happened blanketed, or if this was only, you know, hey, the second the top people have their eye on you, then it becomes a thing. I don't know. I can't speak to that. But what I will say is that it's unfortunate. And I hope by more people speaking out about it, it can bring it to light and be the change. Because Rhonda and anybody else shouldn't have to do that. And it should be about what we're here for in the first place. Putting on the best show possible. Entertaining people and everyone having a good time and making a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, did you happen to check out some of the comments from her Instagram live?
I did not. I missed it, unfortunately.
Well, you didn't miss much. You know, there's some people, diehard fans, that are, you know, putting up fire emojis and supportive, but some people really railed on her for throwing, I guess, under WWE under the bus. I was kind of surprised by that. I was surprised by the reaction, you know, being sort of angry at her, like, why would you do that? They gave you a chance to live out your dream.
Yeah.
And I was a little surprised by Ronda Rousey being so open about her experience there because of that reason. It was her dream to be a part of it. She loves wrestling so much. However, it's Ronda Rousey. We know her. That's her. That's who she is. She's not going to hold back. If she sees someone doing something shitty, she's going to talk about it. Now, she wasn't going to talk about it while they were paying her bills, but she's still going to talk about it. So, well, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Well, another thing I'd like to point out, remember that Ronda Rousey went in as one of the few people who actually was able to lift WWE more, not the other way around. Correct. That doesn't happen for most of those wrestlers out there. And mind you, they become those people over time. There's plenty of examples. The Rock, John Cena, the Bella Twins, you know. The WWE catapults them, and then they do their own thing. They don't even need to wrestle anymore.
Right.
Ronda Rousey went in as the exact opposite.
You're right.
So, you know, quite bluntly, the game was always different for Ronda going in. And, you know, to be fair, it was business-wise, you know, money-wise, it was a great relationship.
Yeah.
She brought more eyeballs. She got paid a lot more money. That's two victories for both sides. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean that, like, you must now be, you know, like, oh, you can't say nothing when you clearly saw stuff happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure she heard about stuff. Who wouldn't at your workplace? So.
Yeah, of course. There's creepers everywhere. We've all worked at places with creepy old people.
And once again, I want to point out, you hear a lot about the great people in those businesses.
Yeah.
The people who rave about Triple H, I mean, you know, this dude, like, had a great career as a wrestler. Now everyone's like, yo, we love working for H. He gets it, and he's the head of their creative and their storylines and things like that. I'm like, you know, and everyone just likes working for him. I want to point out, you know, there's a lot of people in charge at a place like that, and some have more power than others. I like hearing that there's more people like that because it gives me more, what's a good word? Hope and enthusiasm for a change in a business like that.
For sure.
You know? But yeah, certainly it's like I said, the situation's always been different for Rhonda. And if I'm going to be honest, while we're here, I understand. Okay, if the concussions were such a big part of her retirement, I get this. But what does that have to do with why you don't want to acknowledge him, MMA, really, usually? And I know she's, look, mind you, she probably is going to talk about this a lot in her book. Her previous book, which I have and I've read it, kind of ended during her UFC career. This new book, she's, was in UFC, left UFC, started wrestling as a wife and a mother now. I mean, there's a lot, and I'm sure she feels like, well, the book is incomplete if I don't talk about these things, so that's why maybe it's come up now when she hasn't for a long time. Like, look, if you look at her schedule, she will be around UFC 300 in Vegas, promoting her book in Vegas during fight week. I mean, we've talked about it. For a lot of people, she got a lot of people excited about it. They've told me, I've heard them say it. And so it's always been awkward, like, why don't you like us anymore? Like, we loved you, And look, she's not obligated to give more. That's the way it is. But it certainly always feels awkward because it's like, well, like, you can't have it both ways, right? And maybe it just is what it is. Anyway, let's talk about another superstar who was also on the cover of a UFC video game with Ronda, Mr. Conor McGregor, the star of Roadhouse, as we just discussed. So, look, he's been everywhere promoting the movie. The amount of Conor McGregor I've seen this week from people that I don't usually go to hear about Conor McGregor has been mind-boggling. He's talked to everybody promoting Roadhouse, and good for him.
Yeah, he has.
Inevitably, he is asked a lot about fighting. He talked to Ariel Helwani and he said, "We are all systems go. It's on for a summer." It wasn't specified International Fight Week on June 29th, but a summer clash with Michael Chandler. And Michael Chandler said he's been given the sign, "Yeah, it's on." Nobody has made an official graphic, I think because we have heard this song a few times this year. We just don't believe it. Which is my question. What are your thoughts? Do you believe it? Has it actually happened? Is it on?
I actually believe it. Hearing him talk about it with Helwani, I believe it. I think it's on. Chandler's confirming, this is not a screen grab of the signed contract, but I think it's happening. And it has been fun seeing Conor McGregor do all these interviews. Especially the ones where I think he's mostly been with Jake Gyllenhaal in these. It's fun to just see them being next to each other and what different creatures they are. Conor McGregor is the real life fighter, and you've seen Jake Gyllenhaal be these Prince of Persia, Southpaw, and Roadhouse, and I realize seeing him next to Conor McGregor, I'm like, wow, you are a great actor. Because in real life, like you seem more like a more like how do I say this? He seems like he's an artist, and that's who he is when you see him doing interviews. When you see Conor McGregor, it's like, yeah, he's got all the bravado and the ego and the pomp, and he's a fighter, who's in a movie. So it was just kind of cool to see them together. Did you happen to watch the one where they were with the puppies?
Oh, I saw the thumbnail. I had it saved, and then I'm like, I gotta listen to other stuff first, so I didn't get around to it. But yeah, it's like a BuzzFeed thing
It's a
where they have
BuzzFeed
the
thing.
they play with puppies. I didn't, but I know they had the arm wrestling one in that one,
They
right?
did, yes. And that was
Okay.
pretty funny because there isn't enough room and they were just kind of spinning around like two boys on their mother's, the big carpet basement of their mom's house. And it was funny. And I wish someone would interview me in a room full of puppies. That seems like a
Oh.
really fun thing to
Hey,
do.
believe in your dreams, Natalie.
I will, thank you.
You know what? I also was very encouraged. I think because all these interviews, I mean, put it this way, Dana White is used to hearing from MMA junkie and MMA fighting and MMA something and UFC this and MMA that. Extra eat and extra entertainment tonight, BuzzFeed, Complex, USA Today, Worldwide news. That's just the American news sites. There's been a bunch overseas. Suddenly they're all putting pressure that Dana White isn't used to hearing from in terms of when a fighter is going to get a fight. And yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, he's necessarily intimidated by it, but I think there is a lot of momentum that you feel you now must address more so than usual if you're the UFC. So I do believe that they're probably going to get this done. And, you know, yeah, we're going to make it happen. Let's just iron these things out and we're good. I'd like to address a few things in the room before we talk about Aaron and Manon.
Okay.
If I had to take a guess, and I've heard this theory, I really like it. I think it makes sense. UFC is signing a new deal next year. End of this year, they will have a new contract. Maybe they stay with ESPN. Maybe they're going somewhere else in 25. But the fact is, at the end of this year, there will be a new deal. Conor McGregor has two fights left on his contract. You have to imagine, whether it be an ESPN or a Netflix or something like that, part of the appeal is having a superstar, crossover mainstream, guy like Conor McGregor, and having the rights and airing his events. It's a ratings lightning rod. He does such great promotion. Look what we've seen from Roadhouse. All of it feels like, okay, if you're a broadcaster, part of the appeal is having Conor on your show. Kind of like, hey, we want this TV show, but we want you to have, you know, I know he's not a TV, he's a movie guy, but like a Denzel yeah. Washington. Yeah, we're going to do Law and Order, but specifically, we'll pay you more for Law and Order with Denzel.
Yeah, of course.
UFC with Conor is the real sticking point. And there's some thoughts, being at the end of his contract, Conor is looking to maximize what could very well be the last fight contract of his career. Which I would also do if I were in his shoes. UFC, because Conor has lost a few and has been injured, and you don't know what could happen in these next few fights, maybe not feeling as excited about cracking open the wallet like they are expected to for a guy like Conor.
Okay.
But then a Netflix or an ESPN is probably saying, if there's no guarantee of Conor McGregor, that changes the numbers on our paperwork for you too. What are your thoughts on this theory?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's probably true. Like, so much more goes behind these decisions with a name like Conor McGregor than we can think about. You know, when UFC was up for sale, right? Part of it was had to do with making sure that whatever fighters were part of the deal. There was like a whole thing. I can't remember the details, but you know, you have to look at this entire portfolio before you sign big deals like that. So, you know, it's entirely possible that he's thinking about it too. He's like, how much more valuable is this company because of me at the time of that first sale, $4 billion? And how much more valuable is it still because of me, or the thought of me fighting again in the next, you know, in the next year or so? And, you know, he says it. He's very honest about saying, I love the UFC, you know, I wouldn't be here without them, but I also build myself up. I build my own brand too. So he's a smart guy. He's not going to burn any bridges, but there's no way you're not aware of the fact that the value of UFC has a lot to do with its top stars. And the biggest is still, despite not having fought in years, the biggest name in the UFC is still Conor McGregor. So there's leverage there for sure.
Yeah, and I think this is you know, to be determined on what they actually get done. I think the biggest thing is what opportunities are there out there for Conor outside of entertainment. If he wants to box, if he wants to compete, is there one carrot? Is it worth it? What is the best business decision? Because if there is a big enough bag out there, a la Francis Ngannou,
yeah,
potentially, you gotta see a scenario where he's gonna take it. Then on the other hand, UFC, knows what Conor is at, has built it. All of the, you know, the power that they have. We've talked about this a lot. Francis without UFC, Francis with UFC, the push that they bring, it's a very real thing. You got to weigh those options too. So I think it's going to be a very interesting few conversations between now and the end of the year regarding Conor and the next broadcaster.
Yeah.
Or same if they stay with ESPN. But yeah, I think that's definitely food for thought.
There's no way they're going to leave ESPN, you know?
I think that my prevailing theory is that they want, since their last deal, UFC has exploded. Yeah. They're worth more. They're in more houses. More people talk. More people like it. ESPN is going to have to pay more. They may not want to pay more. Netflix or someone to that, one of those superpowers, may not feel the desire to... Look, they just paid a lot of money for WWE.
Yeah.
They may just not have that kind of ammunition to buy the UFC rights also 100%. Mind you, they didn't even buy all of WWE. They just bought Raw, which, yes, is their, I think it's their biggest program over SmackDown, but you get my point.
Yeah.
So my thinking is because they're a big part of the ESPN platform on Plus, if ESPN doesn't pay for all the rights, UFC will split broadcasters like WWE, and they might do like half fight nights on Plus, half fight nights on Netflix, something to that effect.
I would hate that, but yeah. I mean, I would hate it to be split. However, I already pay for Netflix, so okay.
I mean, we need to have these conversations.
Yeah.
I want to watch Squid Game again. Anyway. Next topic before we get in trouble. Anyway, but so that's my theory. If ESPN doesn't buy it all, they're going to split providers like WWE. And look, WWE has a great thing with NBC, Peacock. That's probably a major player. Netflix, major player. Max, clearly a major player. You got to think DAZN may entertain talks. You never know, so. We'll go from there.
Yeah.
Talking about it, though, the fights that will be happening on ESPN this Saturday, UFC from Atlantic City and the flyweight fight between Aaron Blanchfield and Manon Fiore. So the thing about it, as personalities, they are both so chill. Aaron's very, very laid back. Manon, very sweet, but just very chill also, just kind of out here to do her thing. Stylistically very different, both on a roll. All of it makes this fight very intriguing because you have two very chill girls who very bluntly could be flyweight champion next year. Makes for a very fun fight. What I like about this fight stylistically is you saw Erin Blanchfield really get pushed when she took on Tyler Santos last year. And my big takeaway from that fight is that Erin on the feet still has room to grow. Manon's karate background, really huge in that regard. I don't know that I would say she has the same kind of firepower as Tyla. That being said, on a technical level, very proficient. We saw her essentially outpoint Rose for the most part in a fight that was had plenty of time on the feet.
Yeah.
So I think that if we are going to see a fight on the feet, you know, you're going to have to see some different things from Erin if she's going to win. By the same token, not a lot of people really looking to grapple with Manon Fiore. I know she can. I think it's going to be now, okay, you know, can you execute that game plan and still defend the takedowns from a grappler like Aaron Blanchfield? Aaron, I would definitely give the edge in physicality, definitely in the wrestling. I think it's now about, can you execute a good enough game plan that doesn't require you to have a 25-minute kickboxing match in the center of the octagon? That's what makes this one a lot of fun. Title shot on the line, most likely. Makes it for a very good main event. What about you?
I agree. Good main event. You know, I've come to really love Erin Blanchfield. She's tough. She's a killer. She's got that calm look in her eyes, which usually means, you know, you're in trouble if you're her opponent. Manon is just, you know, I think of her last fight against Nama Yunus, and she's just so big, physically imposing, has the striking, you know, strong striking capabilities. So she'll have that advantage, but usually when a striker is up against a really good grappler, the striker is always having to worry about releasing their punches and kicks and not getting taken down in the middle of that offense. So I feel like Erin Blanchfield is the smarter fighter, and she's going to be able to use her grappling to keep Manon from being able to use her striking. It's not going to be like a barn burner, but I think Blanchfield will get it done on points, using her pressure, keeping Manon against the cage, on the canvas. I give it to Erin Blanchfield's decision, unanimous decision. Well, maybe a split decision, but she'll win.
Yeah, I think I really like Manon's game. She's very chill. She reminds me a lot of Caitlin Chookagian. Doesn't make a lot of noise on the mic, but she's just so consistent across her fights. That being said, it kind of feels like the moment for Erin Blanchfield. Also got to acknowledge she's from New Jersey, Atlantic City, right there. Backyard fight, ton of people. Gonna have Chris Weidman on the undercard. Feels like everything is building up for her moment this week, right? So I think that's going to push Erin Blanchfield to a victory. Like I said, there's a few things to figure out at flyweight, but the winner of this one, if you told me they're going to wait 15 months for a title shot, they earned it. They got it. It's locked in the bag. Don't worry about anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So looking forward to it. I'm with you. I'll go Erin Blanchfield, unanimous decision. And Natalie, that caps off quite the monster show with a lot of different things. Next week, we have a return to the Apex. Brendan Allen taking on Chris Curtis, a rematch. We talked about it last week. And then the PFL regular season opener, the heavyweights and the women's flyweights. What are your thoughts as we go into all of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited about that. I want to see how PFL, you know, every season I'm like excited for the start of PFL. And let's see if they can keep my attention. But, you know, part of my excitement has to do with Kayla Harrison, who's not there anymore. So, but I will definitely check it out. I like to see the start of the season, see how everyone's looking. I hope Lillian Garcia's back as the announcer.
Yeah, she's really good.
I love her so much. And she was not there for all the fights, or maybe some of the fights. I don't know. Every time I tuned in, I didn't see her. So I hope she's there because I enjoy her.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I want to see how they present it again. Because it's like, all right, we've had literally two different ones right now. We've gotten the pay-per-view and we've gotten the Champion Series through Bellator. Yeah. So what does the regular season look like? Do they care to make it look very different, for example? Looking forward to that. Brendan and Corey. Brendan's on a roll. And I call him Corey. Chris Curtis. Chris, obviously a fan favorite, so I expect just a look, two good guys, one good fight. Let's go.
Yep.
But yeah, guys, we'll talk about all of it, the results and everything in between. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll catch you next time.